إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. We continue, inshallah ta'ala, reading from the booklet of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, 48 questions about fasting. And this is the session number 5. The question number 18. He says, إِذَا تَيَقَّنَ شَخْصٌ مِنْ دُخُولِ الشَّهْرِ بِرُؤْيَةِ الْهِلَالِ وَلَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ إِبْلَاغَ الْمَحْكَمَ فَهَلْ يَجِبُ عَلَيْهِ الصِّيَامِ. He says, if a person, he saw the crescent of the moon of Ramadan, a person, he was somewhere and he saw it, but he couldn't inform the courthouse. Like I told you, because in the Muslim countries, when the subjects and individuals, the Muslims, if anybody see the moon, which is, we call it Al-Hilal, the crescent, they inform the closest, you know, mahkama, courthouse, because they're the one that are going to make that announcement, that general announcement for the people, for that country. But here in this question, this person could not get there. Maybe he's far, whatever the case, he broke down, got sick, couldn't get through even by email, or because now it's different, okay? Alayin, should that person fast since he saw the Hilal? The Shaykh, he says, the ulama, they differ as related to this person here. Some of them, they said yes, since he witnessed the Hilal, he should fast. Now, the next day is the first day of fasting for him. Some of them, they says no, because this is something that should be known to the people, not just one person know, but also if one person know about it, but if he informed the people and they all began to fast. And once again, the sunnah, we eat with the right hand, right? And we drink with the right hand too. That's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the best guidance is the guidance of who? Of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So remember, when you eat with the right hand. And when you drink with the right hand, not the wrong hand. The right hand. All right, not the wrong left hand. So it's amazing. Share with you. I was in the car with a brother, and I said to him, "I'm giving him directions," and I told him, "Make left, the right turn," and he made right. Huh? You see? I said, "Make left, the right turn," and he made right. So who's wrong here? Me or him? Huh? Him? Why? But I told him the left, the right turn. Isn't that confusion? It is confusion. But what I intend is left, the right, not the wrong turn. The right turn, not the wrong turn. So Allah musta'an. So it cost us some time. We have to go around the block. All right. Alayin. So here he says, the Shaykh, he says, because this person now, yes, he witnessed the Hilal, but he didn't inform the people. All right? No. He says, but the Shaykh, he says, وَالَّذِي يَظْهَرُ لَهُ. But what the Shaykh follow, actually, and he choose the opinion, that whoever saw the crescent of the month of Ramadan, and he was sure, since this person, he was in a far place, Nobody was around him that shared with him the same siding. That person should fast. It become binding upon him to fast. Because Allah says, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ. Whoever sees the crescent of the month of Ramadan should begin the fast. And also the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُوهُ فَصُومُوا. When you see the crescent of the month of Ramadan, begin the fast. But the Sheikh gives a fa'ida. He said, what if this person actually made it to the judge? He made it to the mahkamah, but for whatever reason, that judge, he says, no, you are from those people who we cannot accept your shahada. Your testimony is not accepted. Huh? He says, in this case, he will fast, but not openly. Okay? He will fast, but not openly. Now. The question number 19, هل ورد عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم دعاء خاص يقوله من رأى الهلال وهل يجوز لمن سمع خبر الهلال يعني لم يرى أن يدعو به ولو لم يرى الهلال. This question here, number 19, is about a person asks, is there any دعاء from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم specific to say it when you see the hilal? For those who see the crescent, is there a dua from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to be said? And is it permissible for those who did not see it, they just heard it from others, to make the same dua even though they didn't see it? The Shaykh said, yes, there is a dua to say Allahu Akbar. Allahumma ahillahu alayna bil amni wal iman wa salamati wal islam wa tawfiq lima tuhibbuhu wa tardah rabbi wa rabbuka Allah هلال خير ورشد. This is the dua. O Allah, bring him upon us with security and peace and iman and firmness upon Islam and tawfiq, meaning, O Allah, grant us success to do what you love and what you pleased with. You say, Rabbi wa Rabbuk Allah, my Lord and your Lord is Allah. A crescent of khair. May Allah make it a crescent of good. Bring good and the like. قال فقد جاء في ذلك حديثان عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيهما مقال قليل. He said, there is two narrations. Yes, they have, the ulama, they have some criticism. It's not heavy criticism, light criticism pertaining to these two narrations. He said, what is understood from the apparent meaning of this hadith, that this dua is for the one who actually sees the hilal. As for the one who didn't see it, he was just informed, he doesn't make this dua. This dua is specific for the one who sees the crescent. Aina. Question number 20. إذا لم يعلم الناس دخول الشهر إلا بعد مضي وقت من النهار فهل يجب عليهم إمساك بقية اليوم أم قضاؤه. Here is a question pertaining to an incident that may take place. Let's say people in the area, they didn't know that the moon was sighted. Okay? When they knew, the information reached them in the morning. Some people are already fasting because they know. These people in one area, they didn't know. Because nobody informed them. They were informed actually the next morning. So what is incumbent upon these people? It is incumbent upon them to start fasting from the moment the information reached them? Or should they make up that day? Okay? So this is something sometimes it happens. The information may not reach certain people. In our times, subhanAllah, the information travels very fast. If the moon is sighted in China, we know it like 5 minutes later. Phone, Twitter, text, emails, name it. Nah. But sometimes the people, they may not. Or sometimes it happens, like in a country like Saudi or other than them. A person may come late. Once they They announced, they said, look, nobody came forward, nobody sighted the moon, we have no information, no Muslim trustworthy, nobody came and tells us, so we're going to complete Sha'ban 30. Tomorrow is the 30th of Sha'ban. But then the information may come hours after that. Somebody who couldn't get to the get the information. So then, if that person is trustworthy, they change. Those people who follow the Sunnah, they will make another announcement. They said, actually, forget about the first announcements. Tomorrow is Ramadan. They don't say, oh, listen, man, we already tell the people, now you're coming, where you've been? No, they don't say that. They follow the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Doesn't matter where you've been. Maybe he's broke. He was stranded somewhere. What matters? Yes, you saw it. Alhamdulillah, you're a Muslim, trustworthy, not known to be a liar or a fasiq. Alhamdulillah. Okay, tomorrow is Ramadan. So now here is these people. Ramadan reached them the information in the morning. What they should do? قال, the Sheikh says when the people the information or the news reach them during the day, at that moment they should start the fast at that moment. Meaning they no longer eat. They won't eat after that moment or drink until Maghrib. Why? Because now it is established that this is a day of Ramadan. And the Muslims, it's not permissible for us to eat or drink or to do anything that breaks the fast in the month, in the day of Ramadan. Now, however, the Sheikh, he says, is it incumbent upon them to make up their day or not? Is it incumbent upon them after Ramadan to fast another day? Because they didn't start the fast until in the morning, after sunrise. The Sheikh said there is a difference of opinions amongst the people of knowledge. The Jamhur al-Ulama, the majority of the scholars, they says they make up that day. Why? Because they didn't have the intention. Okay, they didn't have the intention before Fajr to fast. Okay? A part of the day was gone without any intention for them to fast, and the Prophet ﷺ said, "Innama al-a'malu bi-niyat, wa innama likulli imrin ma nawa." That the intention is important. The peoples, they will be judged their actions according to the intentions. Aina. He said, however, some of the people of knowledge, they choose another opinion that there is nothing for them to make up. Why? Because these people, when they broke the fast, because maybe they took some breakfast or whatever, they didn't know that Ramadan has already started, okay? And he says, so the one who don't know, the ignorant of the ruling or something, he's ma'adhur, huh? Nothing upon him. Even though with this, the Sheikh, he said, with this opinion, the Sheikh, he says, وَالْقَدَاءُ أَحْوَطُ وَأَبْرَأُ لِلْدِمَّةِ. After presenting these two opinions, the Jamhur, the majority of the ulama, they says, no, those people, let's say somebody got up, and these people, they got up, they have breakfast. And then 11 o'clock in the morning, the news reached them. Then from that moment, they don't eat and drink. They fast from that moment until Maghrib. But do they have to make up the day or not, that day? The majority of the ulama, they says, yes, they make up the day. Because they didn't start, the intention didn't start from the beginning of the day, from Fajr. Other ulama, they says no. All they have to do is to fast from the moment when they were informed. As for what they ate before that, there's nothing against them because they didn't know. With that, the Sheikh, he says, but what's better for the person to do in this case is to make up that day. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. When in doubt, follow that which is not doubtful. Okay? Leave the doubt. And also he said, it's only one day, he says. Subhanallah, it's only one day, it's easy, alhamdulillah, to make it up. And that's better for you. Question number? You're counting with me? Those who have the booklet? Huh? 21. Now, question 21. هل يأثم المسلمون جميعا إذا لم يتراءى أحد منهم هلال رمضان دخولا أو خروجا? Do the Muslims are considered all sinful if none of them take the initiative to go and sight the moon or the crescent of Ramadan, whether at the beginning of it or at the end of it? In answering this question, the Shaykh says, Tara'il Hilal, Hilal Ramadan or Hilal Shawwal, sighting the crescent, whether of the Ramadan or Shawwal, this is something that was well known in the time of the Sahaba, the companions of Ridwanullah alayhim. لقول ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما, because of the statement of ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما, ترى الناس الهلال فأخبرت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أني رأيته فصامه وأمر الناس بصيامه. عبد الله ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما, he says, the people, من the Sahaba, they went out to sight the hilal of Ramadan. He says, I informed the Prophet ﷺ that I saw it. So the Prophet ﷺ, he says, he fasted, he began to fast, and commanded the people to begin to fast. He says, so no doubt that the guidance that the Sahaba they were upon is the best guidance. So they used to do it, so the Muslims should do it as well. Question number 22. إذا أسلم رجل بعد مضي أيام من شهر رمضان فهل يطالب بصيام الأيام السابقة? This question relates to us, since we live in a non-Muslim land, in the lands of the kuffar. What if a person, Allah guide a person to Islam during Ramadan? Okay? Some days has already gone, maybe in the 7th of Ramadan, for example. And this happened a lot, alhamdulillah. We've seen people, they take shahada in Ramadan. Some of them, they come at Fajr and take shahada. Some at Dhuhr, some at Asr, some at Isha, some at Maghrib. Some, they take shahada right before Ramadan. Some in the middle of Ramadan. So now, if a person takes shahadatain, became a Muslim, but some days are already gone in Ramadan, should we, those people who gave him the shahadatain, should we tell that person, hey, listen, now you're a Muslim, you have to make up those 7 days? Okay? That Ramadan is already 7 days are gone, so you have to make up those days? He says no. The Shaykh in answer, he says no, we don't tell him that. Why? Because during those days, he wasn't a Muslim. He was still a kafir. And the kafir, when he became Muslim, is not to be asked to make up things that he didn't do when he was a kafir. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal, verse 38, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِنْ يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Say to those who disbelieved, if they cease and give up disbelief and become Muslims, all of the previous sins will be forgiven. Whatever they've done before that moment when they become Muslims, it's forgiven. Allahu Akbar. Ni'mah min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also it says, because people, they used to accept Islam in the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there is no report that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered any one of them to make up the days. Okay? La salat wa la zakat. They're not to be told what you have to make up the salawat. All of these years you didn't pray when you were a kafir. All this zakat you didn't give when you were a kafir. No. None of that. However, he says, if this person now, he became a Muslim during the day, not during Ramadan. If somebody come at Dhuhr time, Asr time, we are fasting, alhamdulillah, and he became a Muslim, yes, we told that person, now since you're a Muslim, and you took shahada in this very blessed month of Ramadan, and we're happy for you, alhamdulillah, this is good for you, now you gotta abstain, you gotta fast until Maghrib. And we explained to him that, what he means, don't drink, including water, because some of them think water is okay. Tell them including coffee too, Starbucks, coffee, everything, all food. pizza, everything, chicken wings, everything, cheesecakes. Because some of them, they tell them, all food, all drinks. Yes, that's not a food. All food, not whole food. All food, not the whole food, okay? And if he's married, you tell him likewise, your wife, it is not permissible for you to have intimacy with her until Maghrib, okay? They will tell him that now. And does he have to make up that day since he... No. He said there is a difference of opinions, but the Sheikh says, Al-Qawl al-Rajih, the most sound opinion, that person, he just start fasting from the moment he became a Muslim and does not have to make up that day. Does not have to make that day. All he has to do is to start fasting from that moment, because being a Muslim now, alhamdulillah, he has responsibilities and a great rewards. He says, because this man, he will take the rulings of a sabi, a young child who reached the puberty during the day of Ramadan. If he reached the puberty in the day of Ramadan, he will be ordered to continue to fast from that moment until Maghrib, and there is no qada. على القول الراجح يقول الشيخ أي نعم Here is a question number 23 هل يؤمر السبيان دون الخامسة عشر بالصيام كما في الصلاة He says children under the age of 15 are they to be ordered to pray to fast the same way they are ordered to pray He says, yes, those children who didn't reach the age of puberty yet, if we see from them, their parents, that they are able and they can fast, yes, you order them to fast. Because the Sahaba, Ridwanullah alayhim, they used to do that. They used to order their children to fast. And he said that this is so that the children... 7, 8, 9, 10, and the like, they get used to fast. We're not going to tell them you have to fast every day, but you encourage them to fast. And you be nice when they fast, you be nice to them, encourage them, give them gifts, show that you're happy when they fast. But if they break the fast at Asr time, say, Alhamdulillah, you did good. But try, if they want to, no, I want to eat, try. Tell them, no, you have a couple hours, this is a great reward, mashallah. Until they finish. But if the child, man, is passing out, that's it, let them break the fast. It's better than to rush them to the ER or Maghrib and you miss the Taraweeh. Allah al-Musta'an. So you encourage them, and you should know your children. Some children, mashallah, they have some stamina and endurance. Other children don't have, but some children, they want to fake it. But see, this is only encouragement. Some parents, they got it all mixed up. The child is 8 or 7, you have to fast, buddy. That's it. Don't eat. Nah. You encourage them, tell them, look, you don't have to fast, but fasting is very good for you. And also, if you try to fast this year, try to fast as much as you can. Next year, do more. Because, son, he's going to come one year, you'll be 10, 11, or 12, and then you have to fast like me. Then it's going to become easy for you because you already know what it is. Some parents, they neglect their children. Even if somebody wants to tell him fast, they say, why he has to fast? He's only 14. He's only 14. You don't have to fast. Leave her alone, she's only 14. Leave her alone. Some girls, that she may have her menses when she was 11. Look at the jahl of some parents. Because if the girl, she have her menses at 11, that's it. Now she reached the age of puberty and she has to fast and pray. But some ignorant parents, they're like, la, She's only a child. She can't fast and pray. She's not 15 yet. No. And now, subhanAllah, Allah al-Musta'an, you find that girl 4 or 5 years, no salat, no siyam. Now, the parents, they should encourage their children and also pay attention to their children. If they reach the age of puberty with the signs of puberty, then they should sit with them and say, son, daughter, now, mashallah, the angels are writing for you or against you. Now, whatever you pray, Allahu Akbar, is good for you now. Alhamdulillah, you're going to start getting a lot of good rewards that get you to the Jannah. Amen. Some parents, they say, oh, reach the age of puberty. Bad news for you, buddy. Come here, man. The angel now ain't going to let you go. That's how you talk to a child. Frighten them. Now you tell them, oh, subhanAllah, you reach the age of puberty. Allahu Akbar. SubhanAllah, welcome. Now you're going to do whatever you do. Allahu Akbar, it's a lot of good. Salat, fasting, Quran, and Allah will build you house in Jannah. It is how we don't tell them, oh, you're in trouble, buddy. Because if you don't pray now, Jahannam. This is how we talk to our children. Scare them, run them off the deen. Now we tell them, Alhamdulillah, now you are like Abdullah ibn Umar when he was young. Allahu Akbar. The girls tell them, SubhanAllah, you know, now you're going to be like Aisha. Aisha, she fasted when she was very young. She prayed when she was very young. Allahu Akbar. Aynam, we tell them, don't worry about it, Alhamdulillah. If you think fasting is hard, hey, it's hard on me too. I just don't tell you, you know. But yeah, we go through it, man. When you see me in the room laying down, man, I can't even lay down. But Alhamdulillah, we take it, and mashallah, because the reward is from Allah, is great. Do you agree with me or not? Huh? Well, let's practice it, inshallah ta'ala. No. So we don't go to extreme. Some parents, they neglect their children. He's only 17. Let him do whatever he want to do. He's only 17. No, you have to make sure you encourage them. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, teach them when they reach the age of what? 7. Why people add 10 years to that? 17. No, 7. Teach them. Did the Prophet ﷺ said if they don't pray, beat them up? No, you just teach them and encourage them nicely. Tell them the purpose. Likewise, when Ramadan comes, encourage them to fast. We don't go to extreme. Oh, no, 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 no. 14 years old, he's still a child. Don't fast, no pray, nothing. Don't come to the masjid. Now when they become 15, hey, come here, masjid every day. He don't even know where the masjid is. Father never brought him to the masjid. That's one extreme. The other extreme, you find somebody 3 years old. Stand up, pray Fajr. 3 years old. They wake up, they're 3 years old to pray Fajr. Yes, subhanAllah. 4 years old. If the child goes, put on your chest the sunnah. Is that father know the sunnah himself? Who says, where is in the sunnah that the 4 years old has to pray, and if he don't pray, he's spanked for it? Yes, subhanAllah. And when you say, Akhi, this, Akhi, he has to be grow up as a man. Yeah, you just said it. He has to grow up. Grow up to be a man. Not around. And he has to be done according to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. All right, I'm going to close the window and go back to this one. Tayyib, inshallah? No. Hey, no. But the Sheikh, he said, but if, yes, you will order your children, encourage them to fast, but if you become difficult upon them, no, you leave them alone. I know. The Sheikh, he said, some parents, when they prevent their children from fasting, he says that you got to be merciful to these children, man. He's only 12. At 12, he's been in puberty for 3 years or 2 years. They think that's merciful. No, Allah is merciful, subhanahu wa ta'ala. is the one who legislates when we see those children supposed to fast and pray. And, so we as the parents, we have to learn from the sunnah. And we follow the sunnah. How we deal with our children, boys and girls, when we order them to pray and to fast, when we let them go. If a child, for example, 7 years old, and he prayed, one day you came and said, did he pray Asr? No. Smack him? No. Just tell him, if it's still time for Asr, tell him, son, please go pray. I'm tired. Leave him alone. You don't go and check, follow him, spy on him. No. This is a learning process. Okay? If he fast, son, fast. Okay. Every half an hour, open your mouth. Let me see your tongue. He's moist, buddy. What did you eat? Whenever you see your son going through the fridge, hey, stay away from the kitchen. You're fasting. That isn't how things is done. You encourage them. If they break the fast, remind them, because they're children. Maybe they forget. Tell them, son, you got up for suhoor to fast. Well, I'm fasting. But you just ate a yogurt. Oh, you see, you hear this. Oh, kids, they forget. What should I do, father? Don't worry about it. You forget. Okay, the Prophet said, whoever forget, nothing upon him. Continue to fast. You came back from Asr, he's eating a sandwich, turkey sandwich. What do you do now? What do you do? In the same day, what do you do? Ask him again. Say, son, you remember you got up for suhoor? And you fasted with us? You still fasting? Oh, yeah. But you eating. Oh, astaghfirullah. All right, son, put it down, wrap it up, and put it in the fridge. You finish it in Maghrib. With a smile. Huh? Are you eat Ramadan? Huh? La inshallah. Rahma. You gotta have rahma, ya ikhwan. Barakallahu fiqh. Hey, Abd al-Rahman, Rayyan, ta'alu. Yeah, nice. You guys starting a seminar in there? a mini seminar? Hey, if you want to start something, we will stop hours and listen to you. It's okay with me. Alhamdulillah. As long as the Hussein allow that. Nah, barakallahu feekum. Question number 24. إذا برأ شخص من مرض سبق أن قرر الأطباء استحالة شفائه منه وكان ذلك بعد مضي أيام من رمضان فهل يطالب بقضاء الأيام السابقة؟ This is about a person who the أطباء, the doctors, they say that this person have a chronic illness. Who can give me like a chronic illness?
Diabetes?
Nah. Okay, like diabetes for example. Which prevent this person from fasting. And since it is chronic, that person doesn't fast. All he has to do is to feed a poor person for every day and don't make up nothing because they're sick permanently. But however, this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cured them. Allah cured these people after a couple of days of Ramadan. They went back to the doctor. The doctor says, Mr. Abdul, you're okay. What did you do? So, alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. I make dua. I ask Allah to cure me all time in my salat. And there's a lot of Muslims in my family, my community, and billion of Muslims, they make dua. We make dua for each other. Because you make dua for the Muslim in general, not just those you know. Allahumma shfil muslimin. Oh, Allah, cure the Muslims. Alhamdulillah. So that Muslim, he's going to say to the doctor, look, I got a billion Muslims making dua for me, man, asking Allah, the Almighty, to cure me. So you're saying I'm okay? Yeah, man, let's do another set of tahaleel. You're okay, Abdul. Alhamdulillah. Okay? So now he's cured. He has no diabetes anymore. And some people, they had that, alhamdulillah. Some people had cancer, and Allah cured them from the cancer. Okay? So this person who's cured now after some days go by and he didn't fast. Should they make up those days? He said, if a person didn't fast some days from Ramadan because they have a chronic illness, a permanent illness, that at that moment there is no cure for it, the people, because we're human beings, we're deficient. And this is by a report from trustworthy doctors, okay, mawthuqi bihim, that person who has this chronic illness, they just feed a poor, a miskin for every day. If that's what they were doing and Allah cured them, they are not ordered to make up the days, because they've done what they're supposed to do. Because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to do. If you cannot fast due to that chronic illness, then you feed a poor person. That's what they did. Aina. He says the same way, the same ruling for a person who cannot make Hajj, because at that moment he has a chronic illness or a valid reason that is permanent excuse that prevent them from making Hajj, but Allah cured them. And somebody has already made Hajj on their behalf and Allah gave them the cure. They don't have to make Hajj Farida because it's already done on their behalf. Because at that moment they have a valid reason now. Question number 25, he says, some of the a'imma of the masajid, when it comes to Salat al-Taraweeh, they beautify their voices in a way by imitating the voices of some of the well-known muqra's. Okay? فَهَلْ هَذَا عَمَلْ مَشْرُوعُ وَجَائِزٌ. You find sometimes in Ramadan, in a masjid, you find this person, he chooses to recite like Sudais. He imitates him in a voice and everything. Or like Al-Ma'iqli, or Hudayfi, okay? Or Muhammad Ayyub, and other than them. Or Al-Manshawi, huh? He said, is this action okay for those a'imma to do? The Sheikh, he says, beautifying the voice while reciting the Quran is something that is legislated. And the Prophet ﷺ has ordered us to beautify our voices when we recite the Quran. The Sheikh, he says, the Prophet ﷺ once, he listened one night, he heard Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu reciting, but Abu Musa al-Ash'ari didn't know that the Prophet ﷺ was listening. And the Prophet ﷺ, he liked the tone and the recitation of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was beautiful. He has a beautiful voice. And he said to him, لَقَدْ أُوتِيتَ مِزْمَارًا مِنْ مَزَامِرِ أَلِ داود. You were given a mizmar from the mazamir of Al Dawood, meaning indication that your voice is so beautiful in the recitation. In a narration, the Abu Musa, he said, you heard that? He said, yes. He said, man, if I know, I will even make it better. If I know you were listening to me, I will make it even better. So he said, based on this, the Sheikh, he says, if an imam imitates a muqri who has a beautiful voice, he said, this is something that is legislated. Okay? Because when the person recites with a beautiful voice, the people, they pay attention and mashallah, help them to have the khushu'. Huh? In the salah, they like to come to the masjid and to pray taraweeh and the like. And also their hearts now are listening to, their hearts is attached to the recitation. And he said, and that's the fadl of Allah. He give it to whom he wills, those who have beautiful voices. But however now, he says this under normal circumstances. That's why the question 26 come. He says some of the a'imma of the masajid, not only that he imitates some of the well-known, but he go to some extreme to change his voice, and he goes to extreme. Okay? Especially in Taraweeh and Dua al-Qunut. He said, and the person said, I heard some people who told him, no, you cannot do this. You cannot do this. But remember now, these people, they go a little bit too extreme. They don't just like try to beautify their voice, but they will go to extreme in changing their voice and repeating some ayats many times and the like. You know, the answer is after the adhan, inshallah ta'ala.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.
Ashhadu an la
ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله.
حي على الصلاة.
لا حول ولا قوة.
حي على الصلاة.
لا حول ولا قوة.
حي على الفلاح.
لا حول ولا قوة.
حي على الفلاح.
لا حول ولا قوة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر
لا
لا إله إلا الله
فضيلة مقام محمود الجماعات نعم. So I want you to notice the difference between this question and the previous question. In this question, this person go to extreme. Okay? He's not just imitating a sheikh in the way of tajweed and beautifying his voice, but he going to extreme. And Naam, he says, if a person beautify his voice and if he doesn't have his own way of tajweed, nice, beautiful way, yeah, he can imitate some of to, as we mentioned in the previous question, because that helped them to have their hearts and mind on the recitation. As opposed, if a person is just reciting and he doesn't have a good voice, because not a lot of people have that strong iman to ponder and reflect upon what this man is saying regardless his voice. So people, they lose interest. They be thinking about something else. They're just waiting for him to say Allahu Akbar. But if the recitation is beautiful, beautiful voice, then the hearts are attached to the recitation. Alhamdulillah. As long as the person don't go to extreme like certain people. They cry in every ayah. And cry again and make everybody cry. You know what I'm saying? And they, one ayah of Jahannam, they repeat it 7 times. No, they recite in a nice voice without going to extreme. Nah. Question number 27. ما القول في قوم ينامون طول النهار رمضان وبعضهم يصلي مع الجماعة وبعضهم لا يصلي فهل صيام هؤلاء صحيح؟ What do you say, Sheikh, about certain people who they sleep most of the day of Ramadan? Most of the day they are asleep. Some of them they get up and pray with the جماعة in a masjid. Some they don't. So is the fasting of these people sound? Is their fast? They sleep all day. Don't come to the masjid and pray. Is their fast sound? He says those people who they pray but they sleep most of the day, now their fast, inshallah, is correct, but it's very deficient. Naqis jiddan. And is contrary to what is legislated for us in the fast. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Oh, you have believed, fasting has been prescribed upon you as it was prescribed upon those, meaning the nations who came before you, that you may have the taqwa. Also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a sound hadith, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهْلِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the person who does not stay away from statements of falsehood and acting upon it and do statements of ignorance and actions of ignorance, there is no need for him to leave off the food. Allah doesn't need food, the food of that person or something. Allah doesn't benefit when that person don't eat or don't drink. Allah is in no need for that person to leave off his food or drink. He said, it is well known that for those people who neglect the salat, don't pay attention to the salat, this is not from taqwa. It's not from taqwa of Allah. And it is not from staying away from falsehood. And these actions of these people who they sleep a lot and they may get up and pray in a time or not, doesn't matter to them. This is not what Allah has legislated for us. And this is not the purpose of fasting. He said, it's amazing how these people sleep all day. And you find them up all night. And he said, and perhaps they may stay up all night in gatherings that have no benefit whatsoever. There's like some people, they just get together upon coffee and play games in Ramadan. Cards, Scrabble. Some people, they even do haram. They be watching, I don't know what they're watching. Some, in the midst of them drinking coffee or tea and gathering, they began to backbite others. Start talking about matters and they have snacks, stashews, but they start eating, snacking on the fleshes of the people. Start backbiting the people and talking bad about them, one topic to another, they spend. And that's true, some of the Muslims, they do this. They think Ramadan for them at night, okay, every night after Taraweeh, if they pray Taraweeh, they're going to gather in the house of somebody. And this is usually after the program in the TV is over. Because in some Muslim countries, nas'Allah as-salamu al-afiyah, they think they're doing the Muslims a big favor by choosing the best TV shows and they put them in Ramadan. Talking about TV shows, you're talking about Aqidah, Quran, Tajweed, Nahu, grammar. No, music, movies, soap operas from Turkey or Mexico. Yes. Is this Mahahad? Huh? Aina. Turkey soap operas, Indian movies, Western movies, music, disco and pop and all that in Ramadan, and they be broadcasting that before Ramadan. Oh, they give the menu. Oh, in Ramadan, this TV gonna take care of you, and you have all this. Take care of you. Take you away from the Deen of Allah. Take care of you. Yeah, salam salam. So those people, they. If they go to Taraweeh, some people they go to Taraweeh, and as soon as Taraweeh, oh, because the soap opera starts right after Taraweeh. They do it like that. And then they sit and watch the soap opera, and they drink and eat. After, if there is some boring things in the TV, they turn it off and start talking. Until before Fajr. Couple hours, what they do? Eat something and go to sleep. Third shift. The Sheikh, he says, sometimes these people, they may even stay up upon something haram. He says, my advice to these people and the like of them, to fear Allah. But they have to fast in a way that is pleasing to Allah. They need to know the reason behind the legislations of fasting to help us. It's a madrasa. Fasting is an institution to help us to do good. While you're fasting, don't just sleep. Yes, if you're tired, take a nap. But in what dictionary a nap is 9 hours? I'm taking 10 hours nap. What nap is that? If a person take a nap 10 hours, so how are he going to sleep? 3 weeks? Yeah, subhanAllah. A nap is what? 20 minutes, ya akhi. That's a nap. Half an hour is a nap. Now, if a person worked the first shift, right after Fajr, this brother, he went and worked on this, and he came back at 3:30, 4 o'clock. Yeah, that brother can take a nap in half an hour, and get up for Asr. And from Asr, take another nap. And get up and go back for another nap. No, he's going to get up, read Quran. He's going to go and spend some quality time with his grandmother, with his father. He's going to go visit a sick person. He's going to listen to a sheikh, alhamdulillah, who's talking about tawheed or about fasting. No. He's going to spend some time in the kitchen helping his wife, preparing the what? The iftar. Why you're quiet? Why not? The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to help in the house, man. Some men, they're like, oh, I'm the man. Kitchen, no. He thinks like if he runs the vacuum, it's going to take away from his manhood. If he go and take the trash or some of us men, his wife says, oh man, I got to do something. Can you just keep an eye on the stove for me? Oh, no, sis. No, I'm a man. Yeah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was kind, gentle, nice. He used to help in the household. This is Mecca Adan or what? The Adan is already gone, right? Alhamdulillah. La Yaqwan, it's very important for us men. This is a part of being kind and nice to your wife. Help her, be there for her. Wallahi, that make them very happy. When you run the vacuum once, oh, subhanAllah, you're going to see smiles for days. Days! She's nice to you. She's going to tell everybody, my husband is the best husband. Why? He run the vacuum. That really make you the best husband? We all be the best husbands for that fact. But look how women, they very easy to please if they have good hearts. If you just come and say, honey, look, I rotate. It's okay. I got the laundry. You want me to... You're not even dealing with the laundry, the basket, you know, the bad one. Now you're just going to take the ones that are already clean from the washer to put them where? Huh? Closet? Dryer. And where is the dryer? Upstairs. 3 miles away. Right there, next to it. All you have to do is a workout. You know? Nice, with a smile. And your wife is looking at you like this with a big smile. She cry. She already forgave you for the past 30 days. You see the benefit? Oh, you do it. You do it. You the woman. I'm not the woman. Right? Prophet ﷺ, he was the qudwa for us. He's the best example. Aina, we have to be merciful. Some as men, subhanAllah, the woman, she's sick. She got 3 babies. And one is upstairs, one falling down, one I don't know. She couldn't even know where he is. He's looking for him. And the husband is like, who mess with the channels? That's all you want to do in the house, the channels. What about the helping this woman? She's struggling. She want to cook. She want to do the laundry. She take care of the babies. She going to take care of herself. Now we come home, ya akhi, we make ourselves available. First of all, كيف حالك؟ حياك الله، ما شاء الله، كيف أنت اليوم؟ ما شاء الله، جزاك الله خيرا، كذا كيف الأولاد how's everybody you okay don't worry I'm here you see don't worry I'm here now alhamdulillah she's gonna say no you just came from work said look I did 8 hours for other people who don't deserve it let me do 8 minutes you don't you shouldn't raise the bar man don't say, let me do 8 hours no say let me do 8 minutes And usually you're not even going to do 8 minutes. You do two or three. And that's, she don't care how much you do. She just want to know that this man cares. That she has a husband who cares. You know, he knows that, you know, he lives there, not as a roommate. That's my milk. And that's my bedroom. Nah, this is my house. This is my family. That's my wife. This is my children. Don't worry. Go get a rest. I'll set the table today. Don't cook today. I'm bringing food, you see? We have to look. We have to read our wives. If she's going through some stress, tell her, don't cook tomorrow. I'll cook if you know how to cook. If you don't know how to cook, you got no business getting in the kitchen. I'm telling you straight out. You don't know how to cook, don't miss nothing. Just order some food. Some good food, or bad food. Nice food, alhamdulillah. Okay? And sit down, tell her, listen, honey, this food will never come in your food, you know, because your food is organic, is authentic. This food has maqal. This food I just brought now from this restaurant, I'm not going to say it's weak, but he has some statements about it. But your food, this food that I'm bringing today is just to give you a break, okay? So we love your food. She's going to be happy because now her husband, he shows that he cares, okay? I know. Some man, subhanAllah, he gets in the house in Ramadan, and after Taraweeh he comes, the lady, she's, I don't know, well, he don't even know that this woman, she went through a lot, the whole day cooking, and this, and the children, and she has to wash the dishes. He's having fun in a masjid with his brothers. Now he come after Taraweeh, he say, hey, where is the cake? He's full. And she's like, yeah, it's in the oven. Why is still doing in the oven? How long? 15 minutes. He can't wait 15 minutes. He just waited 15 hours. Didn't he fast 15 hours? Oh, 15 hours waiting for Maghrib. Why can't he wait for 15 minutes? You see how it is? That person obviously is not paying attention. The one who's paying attention, if he said, SubhanAllah, I was waiting for 15 hours to eat. So if my wife or my mother or my daughter said, father, husband, son, 15 minutes, I say, hey, I gave you 16. Take your time, inshallah. Jazakallah khairan. Barakallah fiqh. Go read. That's an opportunity for you to go finish your juz. An opportunity for you to go do what? Talk to your children. These are the little things make a big difference. Add more beautiful moments and years in marriage. But the little problems, if you don't know how to deal with them, it's like a spark. You know the spark? Do you really have to have a 10 tank of gasoline and fire to burn a place? Sometimes a spark, that little spark can burn the whole thing if the people don't take care of it. Likewise, ya akhwan. Now, I will leave you with that note. Did we read a question and we didn't give the answer? Huh? No. What's the last question we did? 28? 27. All right, we'll stop at 27, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah make us better, ya akhwan, better husbands, better parents, better grandparents, better friends and neighbors. May Allah grant us beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslim al-kathira.